chapter 21, book of Numbers, chapter 21. We'll read the first 9 verses. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread, or the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they, the fiery serpents, bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The events of this passage occur near the end of Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness. During the time, during those 40 years, God, of course, was very faithful. He walked with Israel. He fed them every day with manna. He faithfully led them from place to place. But the Israelites, as we know, grew tired of wandering through the wilderness. They really became tired of God's plan, came tired of God's manna. They got tired of their leader, Moses. And in verse 4, we see that they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. They were forced this way because the Edomites would not grant them permission to cross their land into Canaan. So this forced Israel to walk through a terribly harsh desert area. It was very rough, very desolate, mountainous. And this resulted in the people becoming discouraged. We see in verse 4, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Their frustration over the path that they were being forced to walk brought to surface the complaints that were in their heart. And they voiced those complaints in verse 5. They complained against God. They complained about the manna. They complained about Moses. All of this is in spite of God's grace in delivering them from Egypt, God's gracious provision for them throughout their wandering, God's guiding hand. And so they murmur and they complain. They have rebelled against God. They have rebelled against God's goodness toward them. And in response to their rebellious ungratefulness, God sent judgment upon them in the form, verse 6, of fiery serpents. poisonous snakes. And these serpents bit the people. As a result, we see that many had died. Others were dying. Everyone else was in danger of being bit and dying. In this message, we want to focus upon the event of these fiery serpents in verses 6 through 9. Jesus spoke of this event to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice if we turn there, and we'll go back there later in the message, but in John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So there's a great spiritual truth to what we read here in Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. The subject of the message is beaten for the bitten, and you'll understand that title as we move on in the message. But first of all, consider the event that we read of here. We want to first consider the terrible plight that the people found themselves in. We need to keep in mind, at this time in Israel's history, there were probably well over 2 million people. And we read of the dire straits of the people in verse 6. Fiery serpents among the people. Fiery serpents among the people. And these fiery serpents, poisonous snakes, we read, bit the people. And much people of Israel died. So you have men, women, and children that were struck and bitten by these poisonous snakes. They are called fiery serpents because of the burning and intense pain that their venom would inflict. These serpents would strike and bite, and in addition to the intense pain, there was death. We read again in verse 6, and much people of Israel died. Now we do not know how many fiery serpents there were, but there was enough that much people of well over 2 million died. When you take a group of people over 2 million and you say much of those people, that's a lot. That's a lot. So much of the people died. The venom of the bite of a poisonous snake can impair the entire system of its victim. There are two general types of toxins in venom. Some snakes have both. There are neurotoxins, which of course attack the central nervous system, would cause a breakdown of basic motor skills. And there are hemotoxins, which attack the circulatory system, destroying blood cells, red blood cells, disrupting blood clotting. These neurotoxins and hemotoxins destroy muscle tissue, eventually destroy the internal organs, causing heart damage. Also associated with these toxins would be swelling, discoloration at the point of the bite. There would be nausea. There would be vomiting, fever, excruciating stomach cramping, convulsions, extreme thirst, and even paralysis. And much people were bitten. So you can imagine the scene in your own mind. It is a scene of terrible suffering. It is a scene of that which is very grievous and agonizing. It is a traumatic situation. You picture the scene. There are infants that have been bitten. There are young children. There are siblings, fathers, mothers, spouses, bitten by these poisonous snakes. And as a result, many have died. Many are dying. Many are suffering. Many are in absolute misery. Imagine the sobbing and the wailing all over that camp. You can try to picture these things. Picture a father and mother desperately caring for a dying child. Picture a spouse trying to help their mate that had been bitten. All the sadness and the gloom that is in that camp at this particular time. Imagine the worry and the fear that has gripped the hearts of the people. Anywhere you step, there could be one of these fiery serpents ready to strike. Anything you move behind it could be a fiery serpent or under it. Ready to inflict its deadly venom. You can only imagine the chaos in the camp. If there was one poisonous snake in this room right now, there would be chaos. First of all, I wouldn't be here. But if there were many, the chaos. It's important that we keep in mind that these fiery serpents were God's judgment upon them for their sin. In other words, the fiery serpents were the curse of God upon them for their sin. Those fiery serpents were a sign of God's displeasure. They were a sign of God's indignation and His wrath. And those fiery serpents were a deadly and destructive power. In verse 7, we read of the people no doubt overwhelmed and filled with sorrow and misery and fear. And we see that they were convicted. And they began to cry, "We have sinned! We have sinned!" And they made confession. "We have spoken against the Lord and against thee." And there is contrition. They said, "Pray unto the Lord." And there is a desire in their hearts that He take away the serpents. Pray that He take away the serpents. The people, some of them with swollen and parched mouths, plead with Moses to ask God to take away the serpents, the curse. And you hear their agony and their distress and the heartache in their voices as they cry, "Pray that God would take away the serpents." And we read that Moses prayed for the people. And I imagine Moses walking among the snake bitten, stepping over some that had already died. And he begins to plead with God on behalf of the people. "Take away the serpents." In answer to his prayer, God would instruct Moses what to do to remedy the dreadful and horrific plague among the people. Which brings us to God's remedy. After Moses prayed for the people, God told him, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a piece of brass and I want you to make a fiery serpent out of that piece of brass. How would he do that? He would do that by beating the brass until it was in the form of a serpent. And then after that was done, he was to put that brazen serpent upon a pole so all could see. And whosoever would look upon that brass serpent when they were bitten would live. Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. We have to ask, why a serpent? Why not an angel? Why not a dove? Why not some other holy symbol? Why a serpent? A serpent, Genesis 3, is a cursed thing. And yet the remedy to the curse was in that which is cursed. A brazen serpent. So Moses was to beat that piece of brass until it was in the form of that which was cursed. A serpent. There's a dire and urgent situation, fiery serpents among the people. People have been bitten by these fiery serpents. As a result, many have died. Others are dying. Many are suffering agonizing pain. Many are with fever. Some are suffering paralysis. Some are parched with thirst. And others are in very grave danger. There were no hospitals. There were no doctors. There were no anti-venom drugs. And there was nothing they could do to save themselves. Nothing. The curse of God was upon them. God sent these serpents because of their sin. It was God's curse. This was a desperate situation. This was a hopeless situation. But with that brass serpent upon a pole, there comes a shout that fills the air. A cure! A cure! A cure! And the cure is in that brazen serpent upon the pole. And as soon as they heard a cure, hope is aroused among the people. And then the snake bitten. They are bidden to look upon that brazen serpent. Set your eyes upon that brazen serpent. And you'll live. That was a very strange remedy. They were not told to manufacture some ointment as the means of healing their wounds. They are told to look upon that brazen serpent. And the result is they would live. They were not told to make an offering to the brazen serpent upon the pole. They were told to look upon that brazen serpent. They were not told to pray to the brazen serpent upon the pole, but they were to look to that serpent. And that was the only remedy. That was the only remedy. And I don't believe anyone got angry because there was one remedy. They were all thanking God because there was one remedy. That was the only remedy. It was the only hope that was offered to them for the removal of sin's penalty, God's curse. We read in verse 9, "And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of fevered, pain-wrecked, dying, snake-bitten victims were healed and restored to life by looking upon that brazen serpent on a pole. All the joy that spread through the camp when the snake bitten looked believingly upon that serpent of brass, and all of a sudden the burning and intense pain subsided, and the swelling would go away, and the discoloration at the point of snake bite would go away, and the vomiting would stop, and the stomach cramping would stop, and the nausea would stop, and the paralysis would go away. Oh, the joy that went through that camp when people were healed, people were restored to life, when health was imparted. And it was all due to God's remedy. It was all due to the remedy of God, which was a serpent of brass upon a pole. Someone says, "Well, that doesn't make sense." It doesn't have to make sense to you. You just need to believe it. A serpent of brass upon a pole. Very strange remedy in the eyes of man. But it was a remedy of God's providing. It was the remedy that God provided. It was a remedy that was publicly exhibited. And it was a remedy with a promise. Whosoever looketh upon that serpent shall live. No matter how many times one may have been bitten, no matter how far the poison had advanced in one system, no matter how close to death they might have been, everyone who beheld the serpent of brass upon the pole lived. That was God's only remedy. What happened to those who sought another remedy? They were doomed. They were doomed by the curse of the fiery serpents. All who rejected this remedy of God could not escape the curse of the fiery serpents. That piece of brass again was beaten into the form of a serpent and put upon a pole. Beaten and put upon a pole. That is a picture of what the people deserved. that serpent of brass upon a pole, more importantly, is in the very likeness of the fiery serpents that were slithering below. Has the very likeness of those fiery serpents. What is recorded here in Numbers chapter 21 is a picture, a type of something greater, of far greater significance than snake bites and a brazen serpent upon a pole. Which brings us to the application to ourselves. These people had a desperate need. And their need pictures a far more desperate and urgent need than snake-bitten people. The people in our text, they were suffering and they were dying. Why? Most would answer because of the serpents. That's not the answer. The serpents are the result of their sin. They were suffering and dying because of their sin. They were in a horrendous and very grave situation because of their sin. Their situation is urgent because of their sin. The fiery serpents were the consequence, were the punishment, was the curse of their sin. So you see, sin is the root problem here. And that's why the people immediately says, "We have sinned." They knew what the problem was. These fevered, suffering, traumatized, snake-bitten people are in an awful situation. They're in a very alarming and desperate situation. But nowhere near as dire as the sinner dying in his or her sins. You may be here today, and it's worse than a snake bite. You are dying in your sins. You're dying in your sins. The God diagnosis in the Old Testament regarding everyone who enters life, 1 Kings 8:46, "There is no man that sinneth not." That's God's diagnosis of man in the Old Testament. We have God's diagnosis in the New Testament. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Notice, the diagnosis did not change. And here we are in 21st century. The diagnosis is still the same. It has not changed. Oh, we've advanced so far. But it has not changed the diagnosis of man. Man is a sinner against God. And because of sin, man, just like these people in Numbers 21, are under the curse. The holy God. You see, sin is still the root problem. That's why the problems will never be fixed. Because man, even the smartest of men, do not understand what the root problem is. The root problem is sin. Man sins. Man sins unaware. Man sins unknowingly. And he also sins knowingly.
And he sins with purpose. And he sins with intent. And he sins repeatedly, over and over and over again.
The sins of a single individual are innumerable. And again, there's really no such thing as one sin. One sin contains a multitude of sins. So the magnitude of sin is unimaginable. It is inconceivable. And every sin is against God. Every sin is opposed to God. It is against and opposed to what is right. It's rebellion against God. It's a striving and contending against God. It is a reproach unto the Lord. And every sin is repulsive in God's sight. Every sin is offensive to God. And every single sin is deserving of the condemnation of God. It is a breaking of the very law of God. And attached to such is a curse. You break the law of God, there's a curse. We read in Galatians 3 verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Sin brings the curse of God. We see in Numbers 21, sin brought the curse of the fiery serpents. What does it mean to be cursed? Means you're doomed. You're doomed. You're a sinner against God and you're doomed. To be cursed, that's God's sentence upon the guilty. The fiery serpents brought doom. The fiery serpents were God's judgment upon the people. To be cursed is to be under the displeasure and the indignation and the wrath of God. Cursed. Cursed. Let that word ring in your mind. Cursed. Cursed. That's eternal misery. Pain and suffering. This is far more serious than a snake bite. Cursed. There's nothing more tragic. There's nothing more urgent. Nothing more pressing. Cursed is the punishment of sin. Those fiery serpents were the punishment of sin. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. An emblem of the curse. And we all entered this life under a far worse curse than fiery serpents. God has a remedy for the curse. The prayer of the people is, take away the serpents from us. Which is like praying, Lord, take away the curse. We have sinned. Take away the curse. It's a prayer for the removal of the curse for their sin. And Moses prayed for the people. And in verse 8, God told Moses to make a fiery serpent of brass. Set it upon a pole. And Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, used this event to illustrate his own death. John 3, verse 14, and Moses, has Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Speaking of his death. So we see that that serpent on a pole is emblematic of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Serpent of brass upon a pole. It's in the likeness of the fiery serpents. It's in the likeness of the curse. A serpent upon a pole. We read in Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. Moses beat that piece of brass until it looks like one of these serpents. Until it looks like the cursed thing. Put it upon a pole. And that which is beaten will be for the bitten. Will be the cure for the bitten. Again, hear Jesus say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ came into this world as the remedy for the curse of sin by being made the curse. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, He knew no sin, but He was made to be sin for us. He bore the curse. Jesus Christ took upon Himself my sins. All the vileness and all the filth and all the shame. And all the guilt of those sins were transferred to Christ. And with my sins upon Him, He went to the cross. He bore what my sins deserved. He is God's offering. God's one and only offering for sin. He bore the guilt. He was charged with the debt. He was accountable. And He bore the effects of my sin. He became the curse. My sins, which deserve the wrath and the indignation and the vengeance and the anger of God, those sins were put upon Jesus Christ. And He's there as my substitute. God poured down His wrath upon Jesus because of my sins being upon Him. And Jesus Christ received what my sins deserve from a holy, righteous, and just God. We see Jesus on a pole, a cross, in unimaginable distress and pain and misery and anguish and torment. And notice, if we go back to John chapter 3, again, verse 14 and 15 this time. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him, that describes the looking at Him back in Numbers 21. It explains it. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you're here today lost in your sins,
You need to look. You need to behold Jesus. Despised, rejected, stricken, smitten, afflicted, wounded, bruised, chastised, and in travail of soul because of your sin. Look to Him and believe. Believe that He is there for you. Can you see Him? Can you believe that He is there for you? Can you believe that He is there in your place? That's what it means to look upon Him. To believe. Can you see Him? Look to Him. Can you believe that He is paying your sin debt? Can you see Him, Jesus, the Son of God, in your place? In your place of punishment? In your place of suffering? In your place of torture and misery? In your place of humility, disgrace, and condemnation? Do you see Him? You're a sinner against God. You are doomed. You are under the curse of God. But Jesus Christ became the curse for you. And there He is upon a pole, if you will. Can you see Him? Can you believe? He's there for me. He's there for me. He's paying my sin debt. Jesus said that whosoever believeth should not perish. Oh, you've been bitten. You've been bitten over and over and over and over again. And you're doomed. You're dying. You need to believe. You need to believe. May I say that believing is more than just a belief in some historical facts concerning Jesus Christ. Just like in Numbers 21, that belief, that looking, it was more than believing, yeah, there's a serpent of brass upon a pole. This belief is a belief that leads to repentance. You see, Jesus dying for you, paying your sin debt. And you repent. Which involves a genuine coming to Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy. In our text, in that great crowd of serpent-bitten people, all who looked upon that brazen serpent, all who beheld that serpent of brass upon a pole, were delivered from the curse. Moses did not say, after he had beaten that brass into the form of a serpent, "Look upon that serpent of brass upon the pole and take some of this oil and rub it on the snake-bitten area. And by the way, I'll sell you that oil." That wasn't the message. The message was, "Behold." He did not say, "Bring your offerings to the pole and offer them up." It's not what he said. He said, "Behold. Behold the serpent of brass. Behold Jesus Christ dying on the cross." That's God's provided remedy to the curse. There's nothing else to add to it. They were simply to look in faith. In the same way that Jesus Christ is sufficient for the salvation of the worst of sinners, so was that serpent of brass picturing him. Jesus paid it all. Do you believe that? First of all, do you believe? Do you feel? Is it real that you have sinned against God? Do you believe that Jesus paid your sin debt? Do you believe that? Come to Him. Come to Him. It's the only way to have the curse removed. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are guilty before a holy God. And we are doomed by a just God. Outside of Jesus Christ, look to Him today and be delivered from the curse of sin. That's the answer to all of society's woes, by the way. Man is under a curse. The curse has to be removed. Jesus Christ took the place of curse for us, for me. I don't need to look anywhere else. What happened to that snake-bitten person who said, "Yeah, I see that brazen serpent. I hear what you're saying, Moses, but I'm going to do it my way." They're doomed. And so are you today. You say, "Yes, I've heard that all my life. I've grown up in this church hearing that. But I'll do it my way." You're doomed. You're doomed. Outside of Christ, you're doomed. Look to Him and be saved. Aren't you glad that there is a remedy for the worst thing that there ever is? And the remedy is Jesus. Can you trust Him today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.